Chapter 46. The Inaugural Ball. In the foyer of the Potomac Hilton, Jack and Lisa joined the considerable queue for the security screening. Several conveyor scanners had been temporarily installed, and polite but efficient security personnel directed the guests as they arrived. Handbags, wallets, phones, keys were placed onto small trays and passed through the X-ray machines as each guest walked through a detector, the odd beep and flashing light causing the queue to come to a halt as someone failed to remove an item. Once through security, the guests were directed to a large anteroom in order to have their IDs confirmed. 2 dozen tables were staffed by attractive young aides, each checking identities and collating names with the computerized guest list. After showing their invitations and photographic ID, a barcoded band was placed on their wrist, and as they left the anteroom, the wristbands were scanned by yet another security officer. Jack waited for Lisa to come out and then said quietly, "Just like getting into Glastonbury." She shook her head slightly and linked her arm with his. "Yes, but the mud around here is not underfoot, honey." On entering the ballroom, they checked the huge seating plan and identified their table. The elegant room was filling up quickly, wine was already flowing, and on each table guests chatted excitedly, their voices mixed with the sound of jazz tunes coming from the fabulous orchestra. "Here we are," she said as they approached a large circular table with a dozen seats around it. 3 couples were already seated, but the men stood up as Lisa and Jack introduced themselves. Lisa was impressed by the table's centerpiece, an elaborate floral arrangement reputedly fashioned with flowers from Mason's own estate, above which, and completely destroying the classy arrangement, floated several red, white and blue balloons. A waiter quickly appeared and poured Lisa a glass of champagne. Jack's hand over his champagne flute stopped the waiter serving him the same. "Just sparkling water, please." Jack looked around the huge ballroom. He'd been to many society events with Nicole, but this place was definitely in a class of its own. Washington's glitterati were certainly out in force tonight. The most glamorous people, in their most elegant clothes, where anyone who was anyone came together every 8 years for the most prestigious event in the capital's calendar, the inaugural gala. The room was packed with the good and the great of DC's political, military and business world. The 60-piece orchestra played while the champagne and wine flowed in unashamed celebration. The dance floor was already crowded as dozens of couples swayed to the wonderful sound of the country's top orchestra. Liveried waiting staff kept the crystal flutes topped with Moët Chandon as quickly as they were emptied, and the party atmosphere permeated every inch of the luxurious hotel. "What are you smiling about?" said Lisa quietly. Jack leaned in closer. "I've never seen so many sycophants in one room before." She shook her head. "Behave," then took hold of his hand. "Come on, I want to dance before it all goes political." By the time they returned to the table, Emily Harding West and her husband, Congressman James West, had arrived. Seeing her friend, Emily jumped up and kissed Lisa on both cheeks. "Darling, it's wonderful you're here tonight." Then quietly into her ear continued, "Otherwise I'd be stuck with this bunch of old fuddy-duddies." Lisa smiled. "Lovely to see you too, Emily. This is my friend Jack Castle. Jack, this is my very good friend, Emily Harding West, and her husband, Congressman James West." Jack smiled and shook hands with the congressman, then turned to Emily. "Pleased to meet you, Emily. Lisa's told me all about you." The handshake lasted several seconds. Then Emily said, "Well, she certainly has not told me anything about you, Jack." Then looking at Lisa said, "Where have you been keeping him, darling?" Lisa raised her eyebrows slightly and said, "Let's have a seat, shall we?" As they took their seats, Lisa squeezed Jack's arm as several Secret Service men quickly lined up in front of the stage. The dance music stopped and was replaced by cheers and clapping as Mason's campaign director walked up to the podium. The cheering from the crowd continued as he shouted into the mic, "Is everyone ready for a great night?" He raised his arms, Moses-like, to calm the gathered throng, and the noise abated. "Senators, congressmen, esteemed guests, Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the President of the United States of America, Alexander Stonewall Mason. The crowd screamed and applauded as the orchestra struck up Hail to the Chief and then went wild as Alex Mason swaggered onto the stage. At the podium, Mason stood and looked out at the adoring crowd before him, a huge smile across his tanned face. He waited for almost 2 minutes as his frenzied supporters screamed, cheered, and applauded, then raised a hand and stepped towards the microphone. "Friends, Americans, countrymen." Again the crowd went wild as he paraphrased Mark Antony. Jack put his mouth close to Lisa's ear. "What a fucking asshole." Turning, she smiled.
"Shush."
Then looked back to the man on stage. Mason waved his hand and the audience calmed. "My friends, tonight we celebrate. Tomorrow we renew our country." More cheering and clapping, and again the hand was raised. "Thank you. Thank you all. And now let me introduce the man who will work at my side. My friend and your Vice President, Arthur Spencer Morgan." The Vice President walked slowly onto the stage. The standing crowds cheered and clapped wildly. Jack watched as the man halted and raised his arm. Something in his hand glinted in the bright spotlights. Mason, surprised, looked at his running mate and then, realizing what was about to happen, raised his hand as if to shield himself. The gunshot was not that loud in the huge crowd-filled auditorium. Morgan's first bullet took the third and fourth fingers from Mason's raised hand. The second round entered the muscle high on the shoulder, knocking the startled president to the floor. Screams and more gunshots, but this time from the Secret Service as they rushed the platform, their deadly volley thumping into Morgan's chest, knocking him backwards onto the white-carpeted stage. Pandemonium from the crowd, as half a dozen agents now covered the cowering figure of Alex Mason. Then, as one, like a Roman shield wall, they used their bodies to protect and rush him off the stage and out of harm's way. The second group of agents were now upon the stage, arms outstretched, weapons pointed. They circled the dying body of the Vice President. One agent kicked the small, chrome-plated revolver away from Morgan's hand and then knelt down next to him, feeling for a pulse. Blood oozed from the chest wounds, turning the new evening shirt deep scarlet. He coughed weakly, and his mouth filled with blood. Spilling out, it ran down both sides of his face and onto the white carpet. A crimson halo formed around Morgan's head as he said a single, almost inaudible word. "Justice."